Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our studies in the great doctrines of the Bible. Today we're going to look at the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of hell. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity and time to come before thee to open up thy holy words. Father, as we study this doctrine of hell, Lord, I pray that our minds and our hearts would be teachable today, Lord. I pray that the word of God would encourage the saint of God to go on for thee, Lord. We pray if there is someone that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, is on their way to hell, the place we're going to be talking about today, Father. We pray this would be the very day they fall out with sin and fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, because to receive him is to receive life eternal itself. And Father, if there's any results today, it'll be because of thee. And we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this very day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. We ask the question, we begin, is there really a hell? This interesting newspaper article appeared back in April the 25th of 1978. A real hell exists, complete with a lake of fire and brimstone, according to a leading heart specialist. Dr. Morris Rawlings told the Star this week that a number of clinically dead patients he had revived told him of experiencing a terrifying plunge into a flame-swept tunnel and being confronted by suffering, tormented humans. Others told him of a heavenly experience in which they were greeted by their parents in a bright light. I used to think religion was all a bunch of hocus pocus, but these patients have convinced me that there is both a heaven and a hell, Dr. Rawlings said. Dr. Rawlings, 59, of Chattanooga, Tennessee, is a fellow in the college, in the American College of Cardiology, and a specialist in cardiovascular diseases. He said he has resuscitated dozens of patients who've experienced clinical death, and reported that about half of them reported visions of a biblical hell, while the rest said they experienced an ascent to heaven. Dr. Rawlings described one harrowing episode after a patient collapsed in his office. His heart stopped, and I immediately began resuscitation. It took maybe 30 seconds to bring him around. And during that time, he was clinically dead. When he came to, he started screaming at me, "Please get me out of hell." Once I felt he was out of immediate danger, I asked him to describe what he had seen. He said he had a spinning sensation downward, like he was moving through a dark tunnel. At the end of the tunnel, he saw terrible, grotesque creatures, a burning lake, in a crowded cave full of suffering people. Dr. Rawlings said other patients he had revived reported similar experiences. That's one thing which struck me as too much of a coincidence, he said. The patients who described hell all said just about the same thing, with only a few variations. Other patients reported heavenly experiences. They would describe moving up a mountain path or through a green meadow toward a beautiful light, he said. My friends, the subject of hell is not pleasant or popular. Heaven is a much more pleasant subject. But heaven is only half of eternity. There is a hell. The first point of our study on hell today is there is a hell. The Bible teaches it. And of course, our Bible is our sole authority. Let's look at some scriptures that teach there is a literal hell. Let's first turn to Psalms 9. Psalm 9 with me. And in Psalm 9, let's look at verse 19 of Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. Look also with me in Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, notice what's recorded here in verse 46 of Matthew 25. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Then in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Not only does the Bible teach there is a hell, but Jesus, when he was on this earth, taught there is a hell. And in Luke chapter 16, and we'll go there later on in our study, Jesus describes it as a literal place. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, in verses 43 to 48, Jesus gave physical characteristics of hell. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Again he says, for the second time, Jesus says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. And then for the third time, Jesus says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So we see that the Bible teaches there's a literal hell. Jesus taught when he was on the earth there is a hell. And number three, human logic even tells us there is a hell. Human laws demands that justice be met upon wrongdoers. And punishment is given out accordingly. Therefore, men who have broken and sinned against God's holy law can expect punishment. We often hear this: God is too good to send men to hell. Yes, God is good, and God loves all men, but his love does not cover a sinner from his justice. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. We want to first read verses 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here we see in verse 16 of John 3, God's love, the focus of his love is the entire world. And the same, and to save them from condemnation, from perishing, and to receive everlasting life, he gave his only begotten Son to die, shed his precious blood, be buried, and rose again the third day, and all that believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. See, that's the condition on not being condemned and going to hell, is believing on Christ. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you've believed on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried, and rose again, amen, for your sins, to give you a place in heaven, and it's only through his shed blood that your sins can be forgiven, and that you can know that you're going to heaven, then we see you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the opposite of that is if you've not believed on Christ. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So if you've not believed in Christ, received him by faith into your heart as your personal Savior, then you're condemned already, and the wrath of God abideth on you. Someday you'll die and split hell wide open. You see, my dear friend, God gives the sinner every chance. He loves them. He sent his Son to atone for their sins and constantly pleads with sinners to repent. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and see what's recorded in the scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, my dear friend, if a man is damned eternally to hell, it is not God's fault. Amen. The second point in our study on hell is, where is hell? All of the geographical descriptions of hell are given in a downward direction. So it's down, amen. It's beneath our feet, amen. Let's look at some scriptures that teach that it's down. The direction of hell is downward. First in Isaiah chapter 14 with me. Isaiah chapter 14 in verse number 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And of course, this is the Lord telling Lucifer. That's what the devil was called before he fell. That because he wanted to be like God, he wanted to ascend above the heights of the cloud. He wanted to be like the Most High. Because of his sin of pride, he is to be cast down, brought down to hell. Look with me also in the book of Psalms, Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 15. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. I'll give you another reference for you to look up yourself. That would be in Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 27. Ezekiel 32, verse 27 is another scripture reference to show you the geographical location of hell is downward. If you turn to Amos chapter 9 with me, Amos chapter 9, we'll see that hell is also a place to dig to. Amos chapter number 9, in verse number 2. Though they dig into hell, see that? Though they dig into hell. So obviously, hell is a place where you literally can dig to. Amen. So if you dug downward long enough, you would eventually reach hell. Then in Job chapter 11, Job chapter 11, in verse number 8, Job 11, verse 8 with me, it is as high as heaven. Is it as high as heaven? What canst thou do? Deeper than hell? What canst thou know? So we see that another geographical description of hell, it is deep. Also, turn with me to Psalm 86, and we'll see that hell is low. Hell is low. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse number 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. From the lowest hell. So we see that it is low. And we see that there is different levels of hell. This is the lowest hell, amen. Also, we see in Proverbs chapter 15, another geographical description of hell. It is beneath. Beneath. Proverbs 25, verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. And then we see in Ezekiel, turn to Ezekiel chapter 31 with me. Ezekiel chapter 31. Let's look at verses 16 and 17 of Ezekiel, actually 32. Ezekiel 31, verses 16 and 17. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and the best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they were his arm that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. So we see hell is another geographical description is it's in the nether, or the lowest, amen, the lowest part of the earth. And we also see, lastly, a geographical description of where hell is. It is in the heart of the earth. It is in the heart of the earth. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 40. Jesus is speaking here and he says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Talking about Christ, amen. He was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights before he arose from the dead. He actually went down to hell. And he preached to those in Abraham's bosom, and he preached to those in hell, and he took captivity captive. He took those who had died right with God. He took them up to the third heaven, amen. But those were left in hell, amen. Looking in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 with me. There's a lot of prophecy found in the Psalms. Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Prophetic reference to Christ, that God the Father was not going to leave his soul in hell. And then also another reference to show that hell is in the heart of the earth, Acts chapter 2, verses 25 to 31. Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 31. So far in our study, we've looked at point number one, there is a hell because the Bible teaches it. Christ taught about hell when he was on this earth. And then human logic even tells us there's a hell. And then the second main point we looked at so far is, where is hell? Geographically, where is it located? We saw it's located downward. It's a place that you can dig to. It's deep, it's low, it's beneath. It's in the nether or the lowest part of the earth. And hell is in the heart of the earth. Now, the third thing that we want to look at in our study is the inhabitants of hell. The inhabitants of hell. Well, again, lost souls. Lost souls. Those that didn't trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior during the age of grace, and those before the age of grace, and the other biblical dispensations that died in their sin, not right with God, are there. Lost souls. And again, we can see that in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. And we're going to look at that passage in just a little while. Also in hell, there exists demonic creatures. Demonic creatures. Look in Revelation with me, chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven up unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them were given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now look also in the same chapter, chapter 9 of Revelation, verses 7 to 10. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had the hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And then let me give you another reference to look up to show that there are demonic creatures in hell. That would be Isaiah chapter 34 in verses 13 to 14. Isaiah 34, 13 to 14. Well, our time is just about run out here on the pastor's study. And we'll continue our study next time on the doctrine of hell and continue to look at the inhabitants of hell. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day. Mm-hmm.